This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, a Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
Thanksgiving Day will be held in the United States this week. Few in our country even realize the idea behind the celebration of this day. It is a day set aside to give thanks to God for providing a plentiful harvest again in this season past. It is a day in which we give thanks to God for providing our homes and families with food. For that reason, we want to consider a passage today that speaks of thanksgiving. It is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. This verse reads, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." This verse was not written by Paul in connection with the growing season. It says little about the sowing, nurturing, and harvesting of the crops in our fields. But it certainly can be and ought to be a guide that leads us into thanksgiving at this time of the year and always. God's Word in 2 Corinthians 4 addresses our need to give thanks to God in all things. Why? For all things are for our sakes. Everything in this life is for the sake of God's people. And that certainly includes everything that has happened to us and our families in this past season of the year. Whether we had plenty or little, all things were for our sakes. We recognize the goodness of our Heavenly Father toward us, His children, and our families. We who are believers acknowledge not only His hand of providence, but His arm of mercy and grace towards us in our lives. The reasoning of the Apostle Paul in our text is extremely beautiful. God has chosen to bring glory to His great and majestic name by means of the praise and thanksgiving of His many children. This is the very reason He pours out upon His elect children in their lives abundant grace. Because of His abundant grace shown to them in their lives, they rejoice and thank their God. This abundant grace of God He shows to His children in all things. He uses all things for their sakes. So we have our text. Number one, God grants us all things in His grace. Two, we in turn give Him thanks now and forever. And three, by means of this praise, God's name is glorified in heaven and on earth. Yet, to understand all this, we ought to examine closely the all things that are for our sakes. What does this all include? Well, surely if we were to apply our text to this time of the year, we can ascertain some of the things that are included in this all of our text. The season in which we plant, grow, and harvest the fields is now complete. We are able to reflect back across the season once again. We can compare it, as we often do, with other seasons, and can conclude whether it was a better season for us or a worse. Those of you who are farmers are more aware of this than most of us. You live through this season of the year dependent for your income on the type of growing season God has given you. Whether it has been good or bad affects the way you will live through these winter months. If it has been bad, it will mean a frugal, even tight financial struggle in the next several months. If it has been good, it will mean a comfortable way of life for you. Though perhaps most of us as listeners are not farmers who depend on the harvest for our income, nevertheless, at this time of the year, we too must reflect on this past season of the year. It is true that we live in a country so large that a famine or pestilence in one area of our country does not necessarily touch us severely. Though such a drought or desolation may affect individuals, families, and even portions of our country, we realize that other parts of our country will make up for the loss so that it does not affect us. So much is this true that we most often take it all for granted, as if it will always be there for us. There will always be sufficient food, necessary clothing, and adequate shelter. So much have we become accustomed to a life of ease that a life with all of these things is hardly conceivable. Even if our income this past year was meager, nevertheless, we have a roof up above us and a good place to sleep. We have food on our tables and shoes on our feet. Most of us who listen not only are given the basic necessities of life, but we have received much in the way of extras too. Even those of us who are struggling to earn a living, perhaps through the pandemic that has struck our world this year, will have to admit that God has provided sufficiently again for us in this past year. We have received enough, though it may not be as much as the year before. The question is, what is our reaction to this abundance? Our reaction must be this: we thank thee, Lord, for thy blessings. Paul tells us in our text that all things are for our sakes, not just the abundance of this year, but all things. Paul has in mind in particular what he talks about in verses 8 through 11 of this chapter, that is, trouble, distresses, persecution, and disappointments. All these the Apostle Paul and other of the apostles suffered on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul enumerates these in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. Notice what he says there of himself: in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The Apostle Paul realized that all these things had befallen him in his life were for his sake. These things, too, are a part of that all things of the verse that we consider today. We recognize this then, or when we recognize this then, we begin to reevaluate just for what we should give God thanks. Do we give him thanks only for all the good things we received again in this past season of the year? Is that all we ought to thank God for? Is that all he has given us? Now we begin to understand that this all things Paul mentions here in this verse we consider includes not only the good things in life, but the hardships in life too. It includes food in abundance, but it includes the lack of food too. It includes the nice clothing we wear, but it includes the tattered and old clothing we may be given too. It includes a nice warm house we enjoy through the winter months, but it includes the most basic of shelter too. All things are for the sake of God's people. All things. Even if we had just our daily bread in this season gone by, this is still for our sakes. We ought also to include in this all things sickness and affliction, pain, sorrow, and grief. We ought to include in it the loss of family possessions and even life itself. All things are for the sakes of God's elect. Not only when we understand this can we begin to understand what true thanksgiving is, even during a time that the whole world is threatened by the coronavirus. But how are all things for our sakes? Romans 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." God uses everything in this life for the good and the salvation of his people in Christ. We look beyond the earthly to the heavenly when it comes to everything that God sends us in this life. Then we who are God's people must admit that all things are for us abundant grace, that is now to say, overflowing, plentiful grace. You see, when we look at our earthly life only through earthly and carnal eyes, then it would quite naturally seem that if we receive an abundance of goods, such as wealth, prosperity, health, and so on, then these things only are for our good. But if all these things are withheld from us and we instead receive all kinds of bad things, drought, poverty, persecution, and so on, then we would think that all these things were against us. That is why we must look at them through spiritual eyes. Then we see the attitude of God behind all the things that he sends his elect people. Here's what I mean. If a person were to come up to you and hand you a diamond necklace for the keeping, we might consider that a nice gift. We would, that is, if the one giving it to us was a friend who was giving it to us out of his love and favor. But if the person giving it to us was a thief who had just robbed a bank and was giving that precious necklace to us in order to frame us for his robbery, we would not be so happy with that gift. So it is with the child of God who receives all things from his heavenly Father in grace. The wicked, unbelieving rich man can have all the riches and pleasures and earthly security it may buy. God may have given that wicked man wonderful gifts of rain and sunshine in this past year. His crops may have far exceeded ours. But if God does not send these gifts to that wicked man in his favor, that is, in his grace, but in fact sends them only to cast him into destruction, then all these earthly goods are not to his advantage. On the other hand, if God sends to you and me his people, chosen and saved in Christ, everything in this life, good things and bad, in his grace he sends these to us, then are not all of these things for our good and our advantage? That is why we can truly say that all things are for our sakes. All things are sent to us in God's unmerited favor, his grace. And that is true even of those trials and troubles in life. God sends them to us because he loves us and favors us. He sends them in order to shape and mold us for our place in heaven. He sends them to us to purify our faith. He sends them to us because God chastens whom he loves. God sends us these evils of this present life because by them we begin more and more to depend on him and look for a heavenly kingdom. God favors us in all the things he sends us, whether good or bad. And he does so because we are his children, adopted in the blood of Jesus Christ. In this way, God is gracious to you and me, his children. God has delivered us from sin and the curse of sin. He has delivered us from our guilt and the punishment that we deserved on account of sin. He has delivered us from that wrath of God which we deserve in everything he sends us. We have been saved in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now our heavenly Father, for Christ's sake, sends us all these things in his favor. And that favor is abundant too. Everything God sends us, it shows. It overflows towards us from one day to the next. No matter what we receive, God's grace is abundant toward his people. And for this, we give God thanks today and in this season of the year. In fact, this is exactly why all things are for our sakes. God reveals to us His grace in all the things He gives us in this life in order that we, as His children, might now give praise and thanksgiving to Him. That is His purpose behind all these things. But what is this thanksgiving that we bring, and how do we show it? Thanksgiving is the giving of thanks to God for His blessings, His favor toward us. It is acknowledging His kindness and benevolence toward us in this past year again. It is confessing that God alone is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and that all things we receive freely from His hand alone. It is expressing to Him our joy and gratitude for the blessings of another season. It is shown not only through prayer, not only through gathering together in His house, but it is revealed in the very attitude of our heart toward God. Thankfulness, true thankfulness, is not simply saying thanks with the lips, but in the heart there is no great appreciation for what God has done. Thankfulness begins in the heart. There we bow in humble acknowledgement before God for His mercy. There we confess our thanks for His grace in our lives. When it is in our hearts, we will begin to show such gratitude in our lives too. Again, thankfulness goes far beyond simple words. It shows in our whole outlook on the things God has given us, or not given us, in this past season. What is that attitude? Is there complaining? Is there discontentment and dissatisfaction with what God has done? Or has God given us so much that there is an attitude of greed? We want more? Or of slothfulness? Eat, drink, and be merry? Or mere indifference? I'm glad it's mine, but who cares where it came from? Our life will indeed reveal whether we are thankful or not. You see, God uses the many things He sends us to work praise upon our lips. I know that someday when we stand before Him in glory, we will praise Him for all things, but God gives us these things now. He shows us His grace now, and that in order that right now we, His children, might in our lives praise Him, honor Him, and thank Him for these things. Our lives today and tomorrow and always must be lives of thankfulness. And that in order that right now God might glorify Himself in us. God chooses to bring glory to His name through our thanksgiving, therefore, right now. And this He chooses to do through the thanksgiving, not of one, but of many. Notice our text once again. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Listen to the beautiful expressions of praise and thanksgiving God's people bring when they worship together, or in their homes and in their families, or as they live in their lives in this world. Through it, God chooses to glorify His name in all the earth. What a witness we bring to those about us of our God when they see such praises upon our lips. The wicked do not bring this thanksgiving, not even in this season of the year. They do not truly thank God from the heart and in their lives for His good gifts to them. They could surely understand why God holds them without excuse by means of these things. But as believers, we bring thanks. Together we bring thanks. And those about us see this thanks, and God's name is glorified. Right now. Yet this praise and thanksgiving we bring right now dulls in comparison to the thanksgiving that will ring forth in heaven when all the saints will be gathered in. And the Word of God before us today ultimately has reference to that thanksgiving of many. It has reference to the praise of the redeemed who will stand before God in glory. This is exactly God's purpose with respect to His grace, the thanksgiving of the multitude of saints who stand before Him in glory. Then there will be gathered together the multitude of all believers from all times and from all nations. There will be no half-hearted praise and thanks. It will be perfected and whole. A little taste of this thanksgiving is given us in Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. There John states, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." If only our thanks at this time of year could herald the same thanks we will bring in heaven some day. Then God's name will be truly glorified. Then God will have accomplished his purpose in us. Then we will fully understand how everything in this life was, indeed, for our sakes. No wonder the child of God hopes for the things that are not seen, rather than the things that are seen. May we understand in this season of the year, dear listeners, that our lives in this world and all we receive from the hand of Almighty God is for one end: His glory. God's glory. God's glory is the effulgence, the shining forth of His holiness and beauty. It is the manifestation of His majesty and power. God's glory is the revelation of Himself as the sovereign and only potentate, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God's glory. That is what we seek, and that is what we desire. And whatever can bring such honor, such esteem, such veneration and worship to His holy name, that is what we want. And this is what God has saved us for, too. Our praises redound, that is to say, overflow our hearts to the glory of God. The way we can bring such honor to God in this season of the year is to thank Him. Thank Him, fellow saints. Praise Him for His faithfulness, which is so great. Thank Him for His mercy, which is new every morning. Thank Him for the good times. And yes, thank Him for the hard times. Thank Him for the salvation He has freely given, by which He has adopted us to be His very own children. Thank Him for choosing us when we did not deserve it. Thank Him for all the blessings He has bestowed on us, all things, for our sakes. Let God's name be glorified. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank Thee for the blessings that Thou hast bestowed upon us again in this season gone by. Not only, Father, have we had food sufficient, and shelter and clothing sufficient, but Thou hast bestowed upon us the many great blessings of salvation as Thy children. We ask that we may not be thankless in this time of the year or ever, but may our thanksgiving redound to the glory of Thy name. We give Thee praise. Wilt Thou forgive us where we have failed? Wilt Thou give unto us strength to continue on in giving praise unto Thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.